Man, you may be seated. Just in a little review to tell you where we are, Jerusalem is the first church. And it's out of Jerusalem church that the disciples went, and they went into all the world to preach the gospel. It's a church much like any church that we would have, and which had things that it did that were very, very good. But it also had issues that it was dealing with that it really needed help with. And James, as the pastor, is helping them to deal with a big issue. The title of my message this morning is, What Kind of Wisdom Do You Show? What kind of wisdom do you show? He paints a real contrast this morning of two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of God and the wisdom of Satan. The wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world. James is really asking, how are you living? And how is it showing out? Maybe you heard of the illustration before. There was a small plane that took off on a journey. And as it was going on that journey, the flight manifest had the following individuals on the plane. There was a minister, a Boy Scout, a computer expert, and the pilot. They were the only ones on this small plane. After a while in the air, there was a problem, and the pilot came back out of the cockpit into the cabin, and he says, we've got an issue. The plane is going down. There are only three parachutes and four people. The pilot says, I have one of the parachutes here in my hand. I have a wife and three small children. He picked up the parachute, popped the door, jumped out with that parachute. The computer whiz spoke up. I should have one of the parachutes because I'm the smartest man in the world and everyone needs me. So he took one, put it on over his shoulder, and he jumped out. The minister then turned to look at the Boy Scout, had a sad smile on his face. He said, you're young. I've lived a rich life. You can take the remaining parachute and I'll go down with the plane. Boy Scout says, no, you won't. Relax, Reverend. The smartest man in the whole world just picked up my knapsack and jumped out. We'll both be okay. The Bible gives us many examples of the folly of men's wisdom and the results of it. Could list all of them, but I'll just list a few. One's the Tower of Babel. They thought that they would be wise in building a tower which really served as a monument to their self and selfishness. There's another illustration of Abraham going to Egypt when famine hit Cana. And he lied about Sarah. And the Lord, as a result of all that, afflicted Pharaoh. Another one, when the children of Israel went in a battle against the Philistines and they were being overrun and they were scared to death, David stepped forward as he'd gone to the front lines to check on his brother. And King Saul saw this young man that wanted to go into battle, so he started to put his armor on David. Big, tall Saul and little David, the armament swallowed him whole. David basically says, I don't need all that. I can't use all this. Instead, he went into battle with a sling and five smooth stones and God. And we know the result of that battle. Another time, the disciples thought it would be wise to dismiss 5,000 people to go find their own food for lunch. But Jesus fed them with a little boy's happy meal of loaves and fishes that his mom had prepared for him. Just a few things that were totally given to Jesus that Jesus was able to use to perform a miracle to meet the needs of many. How smart are you? Warren Wisby says, if you lack wisdom, go to school. If you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. In the passage that we're looking at this morning, it's a passage that, if I was to put it in earthy American terms, I would say that it's a passage in which God is saying to us, and the world is saying to us, much like what the motto is of the state of Missouri. We used to live in Missouri. And in the nickname of that state, it's called the Show Me State. Don't say it. Show me. Show me. Our world needs us to show them the wisdom of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show it. How do we show it? We show it by what's within us really comes out of us. If we take garbage in, garbage is going to come out. If we take God in, God's going to come out. And so we see this morning a contrast of two kinds of wisdom. And the world is basically saying to us, show us what kind of wisdom is in your life. Is it the kind of wisdom that's the right kind of wisdom, that's godly or humble? Or is it the wrong kind of wisdom which is ungodly and selfish? Let's look at these two kinds of wisdom this morning. For really, each of us here this morning, we have a choice of what kind of wisdom are we going to seek? What kind of wisdom are we going to have? What kind of wisdom are we going to show? The right kind of wisdom and its results. The right kind of wisdom, as we said, is godly. Its source is from above. It's the kind of wisdom that comes from health, from heaven. We know from this passage here that it says that it has certain characteristics. It's pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive to God and to others. It's merciful. It's also fruitful, impartial, and sincere. It's true and godly. Then we come to verse 13, where we start our passage this morning. It says, who is wise among you? Let him show it by good lives and deeds, done in a humility that comes from wisdom. We are to pursue God with a humility. It's a humility that says, basically, I am nothing, he is everything. Without him, I can do nothing, but with him, I can do everything. We seek him first. As in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We put him first in our life, and we ask him to lead us. In the original Greek, the word for humility means gentle strength. We seek the gentle strength, and we seek with gentle strength the wisdom that God has. The humility that comes and saying, you know, I'm not as smart as I think I am. I am not God. He's God. I don't need to take his place. I need to focus on the person who's in the right place and keep him in the right place. Where is your focus this morning? Is it on God? If your focus is on God, then God is what's going to be shown throughout your life. It's going to ooze out of your pores. It's going to come out of your words. It's going to come out of your actions and your temperament. The results of it is right wisdom. And we live in a world right now that really needs to see right wisdom. A world that really needs to see God fleshed out among us in lives that are living for him. The result of right wisdom is real peace. Not the peace that the world can give. Not the peace that maybe two heads of state might lay down arms over a signed document. But the peace that God that gives that starts from the inside out. You can tell when someone is living in peace and when they're living in turmoil. You can just tell. They can try to hide it. And they might be successful for a time. But then suddenly the truth's going to come out, isn't it? Lord, help me to be in such a relationship with you that the peace that only you can give comes out of my life and others are attracted to that kind of peace. May it work in me and they see the example so that it will work in them. Real peace that only he gives. Real righteousness, which is rightness of God, lived out in our lives. Our world needs to see it. Are they seeing it in you? Your brothers and sisters in church need to see peace. They need to see right wisdom. You know, we come to worship the Lord. We come to rub shoulders with one another. We come to gain from one another strength and rightness. So that as we pray for one another, as we rub off on one another, as we interact with one another, and then we go back into tomorrow, when we go into the Monday mornings and the Tuesday afternoons or the Saturday afternoons of our lives, that it just very well could be that God, through His Word that was either spoken, sung, prayed, or lived out, that when you come face to face with a situation later on in the week, that you really need wisdom. You say, you know, I saw that or I heard that in sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. And Satan, get you behind me because you're lying. You tried to attack them and you didn't win, and you're trying to attack me and you're not going to win either. Amen? The right kind of wisdom is the kind of wisdom whose focus is on God. But then he speaks to the whole church and he says there's another kind of wisdom. It's the wisdom of the world. Its source is from below or of Satan. There's really two things that mark this kind of wisdom. One is selfish ambition. The other is jealousy. That selfish ambition is that need to win every argument no matter what. And that kind of jealousy that we get offended or get our feelings hurt when someone else might get attention or praise, or someone else might be noticed. You can be in a room and you can walk through the room and you can try to speak to everybody in the room, and let's say you spoke to everybody, but somehow or another you didn't get to speak to two. And the devil can take it to where those two people say, "He didn't speak to me." Or, "She didn't acknowledge me." And rather than celebrating the fact that there was, you know, 98% when your intentions was to touch 100% of the lives, 98% were getting touched for the Lord, and Satan will come in and he'll have the 2%. And that's probably a pretty unrealistic percentage in any kind of gathering. He'll have 2% that'll say, "They don't really care about me." Or if someone sings or plays an instrument or teaches a great lesson and people are inspired, and then we want to say amen or we want to clap, and the person sitting back says, "Well, they don't clap when I do what I do." I mean, let's get real. How many people have you ever seen clap at a sermon? Clap at singers. I don't hear too many that clap at preachers, so it could work out, you know, it could work the other way. No. That's not the deal. But how, you know, we're at year end, and, you know, monthly things, you know, constantly, like writing checks, keeping up bills, year end reports, and so on, the stuff of what Monique does as treasurer of the church, and what Kevin does, and what Teresa does, superintendent, missionary president, and so on. All those year-end kind of things that have to be done. And do they do it for God's applause and God's glory? Or do they do it like when hopefully next Sunday you'll receive your giving statement? Do you clap because Monique did such a good job and got it right, and it agrees with your figures? She's not doing it for your applause, although it's say thank you. That'd be great. And thank you, Monique. I've seen Satan get in church and get in church over some of the dumbest stuff. Like, I know of a church is not one that I pastored, but it's one that a friend of mine pastored in the Midwest, and it was springtime, and somebody was planting flowers out in the flower beds of the church, and a couple folks in the church went to get flowers, and they took a Saturday morning, and they mulched the flower beds and set out the flowers, and someone came the next morning to church, and it was the flowers. They were going to buy flowers to put in the church, and they were going to buy flowers that were a different color. And so they started a feud over the wrong color flowers being planted outside. Now, I got to tell you, I'm just thankful there's flowers, and I'm thankful that there's somebody that's got a green thumb that knows how to do it. I can't do it. When I can't do it, I don't have any right to say it needs to be red, blue, green, yellow, or whatever. I do like orange ones, but you know, it doesn't. If they've done it, and they've done it for the Lord's glory, you know, why did you plant those flowers? Why did you want to plant those flowers? Did you want to plant those flowers for God's glory, or did you want to plant the flowers to where you could go in the next morning? See those flowers? I planted them. The right kind of wisdom is a wisdom of humility. The wrong kind of wisdom is the wisdom of selfish ambition and jealousy. Here, people pursue the wrong things. It's almost like in the beginning of right before the Sermon on the Mount where he talked about prayer, those that pray aloud and staying on the street corner and they've gotten applause, and God's saying to them, you've already gotten your reward. You did it to be noticed by men, and you got men's applause. We always appreciate, you know, a pat on the back or a thank you or a hug and an embrace or, hey, hang in there. We're on this journey together. Appreciate what you do. But if the only reason that you do it is so that your name will be scrolled on the screen, you know, done by so-and-so, or that there's a day that comes in which such-and-such given or planted by so-and-so, and that's written down, that's wrong. It falls way short. The applause that we should be looking for and wanting, the applause I want is to walk into his arms and him put a big old bear hug on me and have him say, well done. And it's not by anything that I did other than giving my life to him completely. All glory goes to God. And so here James is talking to the church, and he's letting them know that this wrong kind of wisdom is the kind of wisdom that's not going to lead to unity. It's going to lead to discord. It's going to lead to evil practices. It's going to lead to division, bitter envy. It's going to lead to boasting and denial of truth. Here, people trust themselves. It's almost rather than letting God's word look into them and be the mirror of the souls, they look in the mirror, and this morning, you know, that Disney movie and the woman that looked in mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most godly of them all? And we become our own judge that we're right and the world's wrong. Folks, our world has a problem. And the problem is that a lot of folks who are going from selfish and jealous ambition are seeking to be like God rather than submitting to God in humility and saying, God, you judge me. You work through my life. You be the one who gets the attention and the glory. Let me step in the background. It's beautiful when God gets the glory and people really don't know who did it. Over the years, I've had the opportunity as pastor to be the messenger of benevolence or love checks. When like somebody's in need and the church take up a love offering or buy groceries for someone and they want to remain anonymous, you know, they'll give it to the church or they'll come and give it to me and say, you know, can you see that so-and-so gets this? and you walk into the person's house and you're bringing in groceries or you're bringing in an envelope and there's groceries or there's money there, something to meet a need that they couldn't meet themselves. Who gave this? God. No, who gave this? God. Oh, there might have been one or two people that gave it, but they don't want attention drawn to them. It didn't come from them. They were following God's obedience. And so God was the one that gave it. Give praise and glory and thanks to God. And may He multiply it many times over. Then you go and you report back to the individual, hey, this is what happened when I went there. And they started to cry and weep and laugh, and I got a hug. And probably you deserve the hug more than me. I just got to be the messenger. And just to see the smile, say, praise God. That's cool. When people's focus is in the right place, that God gets the glory and the attention rather than us. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most godly of them all? Not the person who has selfish ambition or jealousy. How do we apply all this? If our focus is right, God's going to get the glory. And things are going to work out. And people are going to be drawn to Him. You may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. But the opposite's also true. The world's been damaged by people who proclaim to be a Christian, but don't live like it. Whether it's in church, somebody else got noticed and I didn't. Somebody else got their way. They picked the color they wanted. I don't know who picked the color of the carpet. I just know I didn't, and it don't matter. We got carpet, and I like it, and it's held up well over these 12, 13 years. Praise the Lord. And it got cleaned and vacuumed this week. It works. Big crew of folks got together and, you know, have painted every wall in the church over the, the last several years that we know of, or almost every wall in the church. Looks good. It shows that we all care. But it wasn't done that so that someone was, hey, you know, the color committee got this or that or the other. No, we took care of God's house. And we're still trying to take care of God's house. Some days we get it right, other days we need help. Precious Lord, help us to focus on You so that we see other people the way that You see them. He sees them as ones that He created and that He loved and that He wants to redeem. Are we a part of the solution that they see our focus is on God and they're drawn to the Jesus that's within our lives? Or do they say, well, you know, if that's what a Christian looks like and acts like and thinks like, I'm not sure I want that. A world is watching. Most all of us are children. I think all of us are children. Some of us have children. Some of us have grandchildren. Boy, they watch, don't they? They look. Some come to church, and you may be Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so, your brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, or you're an additional grandpa, and the little kids, they look up and they see and they try to emulate you. They're reaching up their hand to grab a hold of your hand. Are they seeing you smile and embrace them and lead them in paths that are right? Kids are pretty smart, you know. They can tell who cares and who doesn't. Or do they see us leading them away? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the wisest of them all? The one who approaches it with humility rather than self-righteousness. That's a pretty hard truth for a pastor to speak to a church. It says, church, be the church. Church, show Christ. And I think in James, look at it this way. Jesus is my brother. We were in the same house, and there were times that he and I were under the same roof, and I did not realize and appreciate who he was and what he was. But one day, I realized who he was and what he was and gave myself to him completely, and it forever changed my life. When we realize who Jesus is and why he came and give ourselves to him completely, it'll forever change our lives and the lives around us. What kind of wisdom are you showing? The wisdom that points people towards God, or the wisdom that points them away? Stand together with me. Precious Lord, this morning we sang a song, Hallelujah, This Is Glory. And as we were singing that song, I was thinking of the message this morning. All glory goes to God. I pray that you'll get me out of the way. I pray that you'll get each of us out of the way, that people will see you through us rather than just seeing us and our wanting to get attention. They're hurting people around us. Some in this room this morning need a hug. And maybe the hug they're going to get is from someone here being Jesus to them. Someone here this morning needs a smile rather than a frown. They get enough frowns. Someone here this morning may need a kind word. May they see and sense Jesus lived out in a life that's showing them God's love. Help us to be wise like you. Forgive us at those times that we seek the wisdom of selfish ambition and jealousy. Forgive us of those times that we seek to, maybe without realizing it, that we try to take your place. Your place is not our place. Our place is to put you in the right place. Precious Lord, help the church be the church. And in our world right now that's hurting, it so much needs to see Jesus lived out in lives. Help us this week. I just pray that there'll be divine encounters. We come back next Sunday and we'll hear of divine encounters of people who had opportunity just to share and show Jesus, and that you were there. Father, I just pray your anointing right now on whatever those opportunities might be, wherever they might take place. And may you get all the glory, for we ask it in your name. And God's people said, amen. God bless you, church. Be his church. And if you'd like to join us tonight, we're going to meet about 5:30 to take off to go towards Ridgeview Nazarene to support their revival services.